Blog Talk Radio.
This is Carl from Deviant Legion and Incredibly Strange Films, and tonight is a very special podcast. As many of you know, because I've posted this everywhere, our founder of Incredibly Strange Films, David Whittington, passed away this past, right before Christmas. And we were all very, very shocked at that. So what you just listened to is one of his song from one of his favorite artists, and that was Morning Fog by Kate Bush. With me today producing is my co-host and cohort, Rich Lane. But I'd like to pass it over first to his cousin. Jasmine and I have been in contact ever since he passed away, and so we're going to pass it over to Jasmine. Jasmine, just say hello. Tell a little bit about yourself and your relationship to David, and we'll start there, and then you can pass it along to everyone else that's here.
Thank you so much, Carl. This is Jasmine. I'm David's niece, not cousin, just to clarify. I'm his sister Nancy's daughter, and I'm so glad you're doing this. And here's Nancy, his sister.
Okay.
Hi, Carl. I'm David's youngest sister. It was David, then Cindy, then me. And I'll go ahead and introduce Cindy, my sister. So I'll turn it over to her next.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Cindy. This is really hard.
Oh, I know. I know.
David, excuse me. David meant a lot to everybody.
Absolutely.
It's very hard to come home every day and not have him tell me about something else and some other kind of film he found.
You know, it's hard for everyone. To give you a little bit background about me, I met David 5 years ago and joined Incredibly Strange Films, and we hit it off immediately. Within a month, I was involved. Within 2 months, I was co-admitting with him. And we were on the phone 2-3 times a week during that period. Now, I basically am still there, but doing the podcast now, not working specifically on the group. But, man, he had such an impact on everyone there and certainly on me, and being a sister and being there since you were very, very young. I don't know which one was older, to be honest. But seriously, there's no question about that. Now, we also have Rick with us. Rick, say hello and tell us who you are and your relationship to David.
Rick Coleman. We all live down in Louisiana, and it's actually my brother that went to school with David. So David's a little bit older than me, but I knew him about 50 years, and one thing we always loved was movies, and it was a natural progression of what David did, from our mutual interests. And he used to watch movies over at my house a lot, especially back in the 80s and 90s. So I'm just so proud of him that he founded this website. I mean, it's just like taking over the world, it seems like. So
at this point, I think we're close to 500,000. That's 500,000 people.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's insane. Yeah.
So mind-blowing. Love it.
Well,
it's been 7 years,
you know,
I think.
Yeah, it's been 7 years, and I came in about 5 or 6 years ago when it was like about 25,000. And both David and I really worked to grow, and it's become so big that we have like about 10 mods and 4 admins, active admins, and and of course he had so many other wonderful smaller sites. One of the ones that is Film and Stuff, and then Weird and Wonderful, Like a Perversion. He also, I can't remember the name of it, he had an Asian music group too. And if anyone else knows what he's done, just let me know. But I mean, it's unbelievable the impact he's had on so many people.
Yeah,
I marvel at that. Go ahead.
Didn't he have two other incredibly strange sites, I believe, as well, literature? And
yes, he
else.
Did, because those are smaller
television.
Sites. One was one was television, and the other one was literature. So, he had a huge impact. We're the largest film site on by far.
Wow, that's incredible.
By far,
strange,
and that's all day.
Film,
not to take away from any of the other mods or anything like that. But my God, so let's not talk about Incredibly Strange Films. Let's talk about David. What are some of the great memories you have? Because I know this is difficult for everyone. But, the one thing I always say, and I'm a church musician, you have to understand that, people live on in your memories, and they're always going to be there with you. So, in this time of grief, you want to really think about that. So let's think about our favorite memories of David. Excuse me. So, Jasmine, how about
you?
Nancy, okay.
Okay, well, I just think it's amazing that David had such a big following and he barely talked to me about it. I mean, he would mention, oh, yeah, I talked to so-and-so about this film or that film, and he was so casual about it that I was just surprised at how big this whole thing is. But I shouldn't be too surprised because, I mean, as a kid, David was just almost constantly saying, Nancy, you got to come watch this movie. Okay, David, I'm busy doing something. Well, no, just come here. Come here. You got to just do this one part. Come on, just sit down. And so I would sit down, and before you know it, I watched the whole thing with him. Or, I mean, every book I read as a kid, unless it was something that I was told to read in school, was a book that David recommended. Nancy, you got to read this book. Oh, read Robert Heinlein. He's like the best. You got to read all of his books. Ray Bradbury, you got to read this. I mean, at 10 years old, I was reading books that were probably way beyond what I even totally could grasp, but I would read them, and I was just so fascinated by everything that David told me to read, and so grateful. And then it was the same thing with music. And it's like, oh, listen to this, listen to that. And he was just so cool. He was incredibly cool. And I just think back, like, the kind of music that he would introduce me to, or the books or the movies, I'm like, oh my God, my big brother, I want to be just like him because he's so cool. He knows everything. Now, I'll let Cindy say some things, maybe some things that she remembers specifically.
Well, I'm like you. I remember the times it wasn't too long ago that he said a friend, some guy who was on, and I can't remember the name, I apologize, but it's from Poland, maybe, and he did this movie about, like, a hotel or something. It was just him and his girlfriend, and he said, oh, yeah, this guy wrote the movie, he starred in the movie, directed the movie. Good, David, I really am not interested in this. And it's like, of course, you know, I walk out of the room and he's either laughing or going, oh, my gosh, look at this. Of course, like Nancy said, I had to go and watch the entire movie. You know, of course, this movie kind of threw me, both of us, because we couldn't figure out if there was going to be more to this movie that it made you think about it. And David was something else. And some of the things that I remember, I mean, he's going to always be here with us, no matter what. But yeah. I was, during the service, I was saying that, you know, this is David's legacy. I mean, it will live on, hopefully, forever and ever. But David and I had a tendency to watch Jeopardy every night. Like, after I cooked and we had dinner, we'd go watch Jeopardy. And, you know, David, of course, got every question right except maybe two or three, maybe. And I'd say the answer, he goes, and he would look at me and say, how did you know that? And I said, I don't know. It just popped in my head. And he goes, well. He was always so funny about that because he didn't get the answer. It's like, well, David, I know a little bit about cooking. I know a little bit about this. And little since I went to the hospital, I know a little bit about medicine, you know. So, but, of course, he always topped me, no matter, you know, how many, or I should say how many of the two that I got right, he would get every other one right. And just thinking back as kids, you know, I mean, like Nancy said, he taught us a lot of things, you know. And one thing is I'll never forget is him teaching us how to care for books. If you look on at any of the books on our shelf in here, it could come off of a bookstore shelf. It's so perfect. Mm-hmm. He taught us how to read without bending the covers. And, you know, and I was always impressed with that. You know,
sorry, that was my fault. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But, I mean, people would say, oh, you know, let me your book. And it's like, no, do you know how to take care of your book? Well, I do this and I fold the pages over. It's like, no, you can't do that. But, David, David would always, you know, cut up, and sometimes he just, I was going to work this morning, and I baked his two favorite cookies, raisin oatmeal cookies and peanut butter cookies, and I brought them to work, and people go, wow, look at this. You know, why did you bring oatmeal raisins? I said, well, these are two David's favorite cookies, you know, and it's just hard to describe David. You know, he was a person all to himself, you know. I guess that's why he made friends wherever he went or whoever he talked to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say.
And how about you? Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to add to Cindy saying how David was so careful with books. I can remember being in bookstores, and David would, or like if he was trying to pick out a magazine or a book, if it had one little flaw, he'd put it down. And I tend to do the same thing now. If I'm buying a book or anything, I like looking for any little flaw, and I'll go through like 30 things, 30 of them. It has to be one that looks absolutely pristine before I buy it. And I totally get that from David.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt here for a moment because we have a new caller. And new caller, who is this, please?
Hi, Carl. It's Kim. It's Kimberly.
Kimberly?
I wanted to call and share some thoughts about David.
Yeah. Just for everyone to know, this is Kimberly Day Rutherford. She's one of the main admins on all of David's sites, and I've known Kimberly for quite a while. Kimberly, just give us some thoughts on David, because I know you were real close to him.
David was an amazing human being, one of the kindest, funniest people that I've ever met, and so knowledgeable about films and books and just such a patient, beautiful person. My first conversation with him is when I had some questions about the group, and I messaged him, and he was in the middle of. He was sitting in his doctor's office, and he took the time to answer my questions. And then he told me where he was, and I said, "I am so sorry. You know, we can talk later." And he just didn't think anything about it. He would talk whenever he could. He loved to talk about everything, and I do feel like I was pretty close to him. We had lots of conversations. You know, he was just somebody who you would just love to sit and talk about so many things, and he had so many interests, and he loved music. He would love to talk about music all the time, and he was somebody who was just such a light, and he loved this group so much. And he loved, you know, all the people, the mods, the admins, and everyone that, you know, was interested in the group. He loved to go to the movies, as we know. He loved to go to the theater and all that, and he was just an incredible light in my life and so many others. And our last conversation, we were just talking about movies, and so I think that it's a nice way to have our last conversation. But he was an incredible human being, and I think I can hopefully speak for some of the mods and admins. He taught us so much, you know, about films and how to, you know, how to admin and how to mod and how to, you know, just be curious about everything. You know, try things for the first time, an explorer, and he was just incredible. And I just wanted to say that.
Thanks, Kim. Really appreciate it. Unfortunately, we're basically at our maximum here, so I'm going to cut you off. But thanks for calling in, and we'll be talking here afterwards for sure. All right.
Okay.
Kim,
Thank you.
I just got to say something about Kim before she leaves, mm-hmm. that she's one of the main people that will carry on David's legacy. I am sure of that.
Absolutely.
Beyond belief.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and we all are going to do that. We're going to do the best we can to keep David alive. And so All right. We'll talk to you soon. All right, Kimberly?
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. You. Okay. Bye-bye. And now we have somebody else. I told you we were going to get call-ins, people that loved David. Hello. Who's this, please?
Hey, guys. It's Jason.
Hey,
Jason. Calling in. Hi.
Jason, how are you doing today? This is Carl.
Hi, Carl.
We have Jasmine. We have Jasmine and don't have the list in front of me, forgive me. But we have everybody
Nancy.
Here. Now Nancy and Rick
I'm loving this. I want to hear more about how David was. Your guys' memories are so special and I didn't think I was going to do this. And precious to me, just because trying to follow up with what Kimberly said, David's had a huge impact on me. And I've only known the guy like a few years, you know, a handful of years. And I love hearing about, you know, my perception of David is, my story of how I met David is pretty unoriginal. I mean, I was just a member of ISF. We had some nice interactions online. I can't remember if he sent me a friend request or if I sent him a friend request or however that played out. But the next thing you know, I'm moderating his music groups and the sister group film and stuff. And I just developed a really, I felt like we had a really good rapport. The more I got to know David, I felt that we had a lot in common. So, the next thing I know, he sends me a message. He says, hey, you know, you want to do ISF? I said, and you're not going to believe this, but I hesitated. And I told him, I said, let me think about it, David. That's a big beast to try to tackle. Do I have time to do this? What are the commitments? You know, do I trust my own judgment? And David was so he was like he acted like he was my biggest fan. He's like, yeah, you can do this. You know, he was just so supportive in everything. And he made me feel like, heck yeah, you can do this. And, you know, the rest is history from there. And I don't know. I miss him. I know we all miss him. He was a true leader. He was a good friend. He was, well, a funny thing that would happen a lot was, you know, when you're starting out, and Kimberly knows what I'm talking about, you're kind of hesitant about, well, should I prove this or does this fit the group? And I got flagged so many times by David. He would call me out, who the heck approved this? You know, does this fit here? And so I'm feeling like I'm on a hot seat. And no, all David wanted was, he just wanted you to explain yourself. You explain to me what you were thinking when you approved this. Why do you think this fits? And 9 times out of 10, he was like, oh, yeah, okay. I just wanted to know what you were thinking. And that was good enough for him. And
I need to interrupt here for a second because
sure.
I was basically the first admin there. And what you're saying about David, I don't know how many times he would call me up or text me, like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how he put it. What are you thinking? And then I would say, I'm thinking this. Just, okay. You know,
then
he would work with you.
He would work with you. He would
exactly.
bend with you. You know,
he wanted to know what he was thinking and what he thought of a movie. And he didn't have to agree with it, but if he felt that it was a valid point, then you were okay.
Right. He was very generous with that.
Mm-hmm. So I want to get back to the Jasmine and everybody, and just give them more of a chance to say some memories and that, and then after that, we're going to play another one of his favorite songs. So you could stick around, Jason. Please do.
Okay.
I'm just going to keep this up for anyone. Who wants to c- come in with another memory of David.
Oh, this is Cindy. It's going way back when we were all little. I was in kindergarten, and I don't think Nancy had got started school yet, but David, my mother had taken a little brownie camera and did a video, which is now more high-tech, but she filmed David walking out of school, cowboy hat on, cowboy boots on, carrying his books, and next thing you know, he's like tapping his head with his palm of his hand, turns around, walks back inside, comes out dragging me behind him. And he's like, oh, I forgot my sister. Yeah. But there's times when we were little too, I wrote some letters to a friend that was in Afghanistan a few years ago. So I wrote memories of our childhood. And one of the memories that I'll sort of never forget was David had, and maybe a lot of people won't know about this, but had a little red car where you pedal like Fred Flintstone, and would ride up and down the sidewalk in front of the our house. And one day, and that was way back when the police actually patrolled each little street neighborhood and knew everybody because population wasn't that big. And all of a sudden, my mother would say she heard somebody screaming, oh, my God, let's get this kid to the doctor, the hospital. Well, apparently David had gotten into some red paint, and it spilled all over him, and he's riding up and down the sidewalk like nothing's happening, and people are screaming and running, going nuts. And my mother stands there laughing, and people are looking at her like, my God, your child is hurt. What are you doing? She said he knocked over some red paint on him that I was trying to finish, redoing a dresser.
That's funny.
And, things like that. And I remember one time we took a train to Texas. My dad worked for the railroad at the time. We took a train ride to Texas. Well, my cousin and David decided they were going to smoke a cigar. So my parents and her parents decided to let them go ahead and smoke. Well, they both turned green. And after that, David didn't even like the smell of a cigar. But, David was something. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there's...
So who else was there? Oh, go ahead. Keep going.
No, I'm just trying to think of things.
Well, this is Jason again. Can I just say that I literally have only known David for maybe 3 or 4 years. Okay, fraction, just a minuscule amount of time, compared to his family and others. And he really has had such a profound effect on me. And it's kind of like Kim said, it's not just his sense of humor, but it was sort of he just had a big heart. He was like very, very generous and open, I think is a good word. He was always open to like conversation or your opinion mattered, and he made everybody feel that way.
Agreed.
Maybe with his sisters,
David,
he was a little, he had to be the know-it-all,
Right.
But I don't know. David was a know-it-all because I think David did know-it-all,
I like to think of David as unassuming. We talk and it's like, look at how big this has gone. This is all you. No, it's not. I didn't have anything to do
right.
with it. Really. And this is what he was.
He didn't gloat about it. Nothing like that.
No, not at all.
Very humble.
Not
Very
at all.
Humble.
Very humble.
That's one of the things
that go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that this is
I mean, since he passed away, it's made me more aware of what a big influence he was on so many people, and I feel like I'm getting to know more about him, even though I thought I knew everything about my brother. I feel like I'm getting to know more from other people, and he was so kind to people. And I remember one time we were stuck at the airport waiting for, I don't remember who we were waiting for, but we were, like, literally, it was a crowded airport. We were sitting on the floor in New Orleans, and he just struck up a conversation. There was football on TV, and he just struck up a conversation with some other guy sitting on the floor next to us, and before you know it, it was like they were best friends, and that was one of his wonderful traits. And, you know, he was a Leo. His birthday was August 22nd, and I think he definitely had the Leo trait of being a leader, but in such an unassuming way, which is how they say some of the best leaders are. You know, they just kind of let, they listen.
I mean, that's perfect.
That's absolutely perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm so grateful that all of you appreciated him so much.
Well,
we go to Mark and say we loved him.
Oh, without a doubt.
Carl, you love David, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, there's nothing but love here.
You know, in talking to David, I mean, it shook all of us when we found out that he had passed. He hadn't been in contact about a week or so. And when that happened, it was like, you know, I'm not going to talk to him anymore, you know? And that was the first thought. And then I had to think, you know, I'm just so glad he was part of my life. Because, you know, one of the things about David that you may not know, and Jason can understand this, and anyone at ISF, was not only did he support the mods and the admins there and all that, but he was very supportive of filmmakers. And one of the things that David and I did was to really, like, push all the first-time filmmakers there. People have done shorts, so on and so forth, and we featured a lot of them on the podcast that I do, which is in conjunction with ISF. And he introduced me to so many people. And so many people in the film industry, particularly the independent film industry and the micro budget, you know, think all the world. We have so many filmmakers and people that are members of ISF and film and stuff that just, you know, they came there for David.
Right.
And David brought
them.
Go ahead.
He would give anybody the time of day, you know, as far as filmmakers go and independent filmmaking, just pick, you know, tell me what's going on. You know, I mean, he had a really big, he could see the possibilities, I guess, maybe, you know, but, and that became kind of a culture too, Carl, like what you're talking about, especially with film and stuff also. I mean, absolutely. We would always send people to David that were inquiring about, hey, can I talk about my new little short film that's premiering at some little tiny festival nobody's ever heard about. And David was always like, yeah, let's talk about that. He took on those kind of projects. He gave that just as much emphasis as, like, the new whatever movie that just came out, you know? I mean, that's I'm just,
or
I'm
the
just
really bad
validating what you're
love.
Saying,
let's
Carl.
Stop
it's true.
Yeah, or the bad movie that he really loved, too.
He did. He did.
Can I talk about his earlier?
You know, Neil Breen has lost a true fan. That's all I've got to say. David has this wonderful, I don't know if anyone else here realizes this, but one of David's big things was if a movie was really, really bad, he loved it. Seriously.
Yeah, let me speak on that. Let me speak on that, because
Go ahead, David.
I was I moved, like I said, within 2 miles of David 40 years ago, and so my house became like Movie Central, Okay. And, of course, in those days, it was just the beginning of the videotape era, okay? And so we would come every Friday and Saturday. There would be people over at my house watching 2, 3, sometimes 4 or 5 movies per night. And we specialized in weird movies. Now, it was more kind of sci-fi oriented because that was actually David and my background. And we were all of my friends have all basically been into sci-fi and music, you know, usually some form of rock and roll. But anyway, and I'm also a rock and roll historian, wrote a book on Fats Domino. But anyway,
nice.
So, but every Friday and Saturday night, I would have people coming over and watching strange sci-fi movies. And I want to list some of those to you and see. I mean, these are not necessarily ones that were David's favorites, but they were ones that were favorites in my house and that were seen multiple times.
I should state that
we had been sci-fi fans. They talked about his books. David was an incredible book collector, as am I, thousands of books each. And he used to sell them at sci-fi conventions. And, you know, we always were talking about books and giving each other books and trading books. But anyway, we're that way with movies, too. So there's a few of the weird movies we used to watch over there. A film called The Navigator. I don't know if y'all are aware of that, but it's a really strange film. There's more than one film called The Navigator. It's a Buster Keaton. But this is one that starts in New Zealand, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And or England, that's what it is. It's England, and they're trying to avoid the Black Plague, and they build a tunnel. They're digging a tunnel, and somehow they tunnel to modern-day New Zealand. And that's not a weird film. I don't know what is, but it's a great, great film. It's actually pretty hard to find. It was only put on DVD about 3 or 4 years ago. That was one we watched multiple times. A lot of semi-comic films like The Stuff, Q, The Winged Serpent, which we love Michael Moriarty and that director.
I'm a huge Cohen fan. We used to talk all the time about Larry Cohen.
God Told Me To is another one. Night of the Comet, Quiet Earth, which is a great again, I think New Zealand film, which is really awesome science fiction film, which is very little known. Return of Living Dead, Reanimator. More New Zealand, Peter Jackson, Bad Taste, and Brain Dead.
For the record, David said he hated Bad Taste.
Okay, yeah, I think we had an argument over that. David and I argued over those, a lot of these films over the years, but we watched, believe me, it was seen at my house multiple times. Some people can't stand the incredible comic gore in Brain Dead, but I love both those films. They're really, really funny. Yeah, I kind of remember arguing with Dave over that. Delicatessen.
I think he secretly loved it. At least I tried to convince him of that one time. I was like, come on. This is a great list.
Yeah, Delicatessen, Dark City, of course, Galaxy Quest. We love that. 13th Floor, I got to mention that because that's actually not a lot of people think it's a great film, but it's based upon a novel by a New Orleans science fiction writer. So we kind of related to that because there aren't too many well-known New Orleans science fiction writers. And I'm trying to think of his name right now, Dan Galooey. And and my friends down in New Orleans, who actually put on the 1988 Worldcon, I believe, knew Dan Galooey, and they took his widow to go see the movie. He was a fighter pilot in World War II and wrote a couple of classic sci-fi books, which that one became a movie. It was also a German television miniseries. And David actually told me about the day when he was buying books in New Orleans and going and realized that the clerk he was buying from was George Alec Eppinger, who was a well-known science fiction writer. So that's the only claim to fame we have as science fiction writers down here. But my friends kind of ran fandom science fiction back in the 60s and 70s.
Wow.
And another really weird – I'm just going to the latter day ones. I got an earlier list if you want to hear it later. But anyway, a really weird film is called American Astronaut. Have y'all ever seen that one? That's a really strange film, of course. Lost Skeleton Cadaver, I showed that to my friends. It kicked me out because I loved it so much. Eternal Sunshine of the Eternal Mind, or Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, is what it is. But anyway, that's a good. Oh, and I got to mention this. Just a footnote: is that we love movies that were so bad and were not intentionally bad. And I think the king of that in the recent years was the Brad Pitt movie Ad Astra. I mean, that was an incredibly stupid film. But anyway, I've got an earlier list. But I just wanted to stress the fact that David was a hardcore science fiction fan, and that's what kind of his love of weirdness kind of came out of. But he went far beyond. He had a natural genius because he didn't go to college. I don't know if he went to college or not, but he certainly didn't get a degree. But he had a natural genius for all these strange pathways that I had no clue about, because he was constantly bringing up movies and music that I had never heard of, and I'm very well educated.
I don't know how he kept track of all of it. I couldn't keep up with him. It was just. He would just pour stuff out, and I'm like, I'm still catching up here, David.
Okay, what I need to say to Jason is turn off the faucet. Just for a minute. Turn off the faucet.
Yeah, I mean, it was endless.
To say that sometimes I would hear some new music or see some movie or something. And every time I thought, oh, I finally have something new I can tell David. And he already knew it. It would be like something so obscure. And he'd be like, like one time it was Japanese. And he was like, oh, yeah, I totally know about them. And he'd tell me way more than I knew about them. And I'm like, how does he always know all so much? He just is a wealth of information, and he did have quite a bit of college actually. I'd like to just clear that up. He did have quite a bit of college, a lot of psychology. Cindy could probably help remember other kind of classes he took. Science and psychology is what comes to my mind.
I want to share, this is Jasmine, I wanted to share something a little more personal about David. Our family is not very big. I'm an only child, and he was my only uncle. And I just watched a new movie the other day. It's not a strange movie. It's a new movie, though. The Tender Bar. And it was this kid who his uncle's like super cool. and so I guess I really enjoyed it, thinking about David right now. Because I thought, oh yeah, I feel so lucky that I had that cool of an uncle too. And we moved, before I forget to say this, actually, I just want to acknowledge like how incredible it is that the internet can be good. I tend to think like, oh, it's all bad. And it's like, no, look at how many people are connected all over the world because of what David threw together. It really makes me happy and remember that people are good. And sorry, I'm getting emotional.
His personality
really beautiful,
is
though.
It's at the very core of incredibly strange film.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, it's just so beautiful, the connection everybody has in all these different places in the world. My mom and I are sitting here in Reno, Nevada. I know Rick and Cindy are in Louisiana, and Carl, you're in New York, and I'd love to hear where everyone else is too. And I just think that that's really neat. And the reason I'm bringing back to that is we moved to Nevada when I was pretty young, and I always have remained close to my Uncle David and my Aunt Cindy, who's, you know, on the call right now. And I think that that is so special. And one of the ways that I remained close was my uncle would write me letters. David would mostly write me lists, though, of music, bands that I should listen to. And I've always been a massive music lover and actually have a radio show on a community radio. I host a radio show once a month here in Nevada that's called KWNK, if any of you ever want to check it out. I play all kinds of music. But it was, David was one of my main influencers for music. And movies, of course, too, but I didn't get as into film as everybody else here, but I don't know. I read a letter that he had written to me that I randomly found right before he passed away. I read it at his service, and I was just going to share the last line, which was so impactful.
And how old were you?
He wrote me this letter when I was like 5 years old. So he wrote it in a very silly, childish manner, you know, like as if he were talking to a 5-year-old. And he ended the letter, so he had gotten off work late and wrote this. And I'm just going to share this last part because, this is the strange part. He said, "A clown show today. We went by bus to see the show, and the clowns were funny. There was a funny dog with lots of hair who sat on top of a woman's head. She exercises sit-ups, and the dog did not fall off her head. I'm going to sleep now, so I'll say goodbye here. Write to me again soon. Don't forget to smile. Love, David."
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, how lucky. That was my uncle. He'd write me really fun letters.
Nice. Now you say, Jasmine, that you're very, very much into music, and certainly so was David. So at this point, I want to share a song. I talked to Jason, and he suggested this song as one of David's favorites. So what we're going to listen to right now is The Book of Love by Magnetic Fields. And listen to the lyrics. I think this really means a lot.
Written very long ago. It's full of with flowers and heart-shaped boxes, and things were all too young to know, but I love it when you give me things and you
song. And Jason, you're
nice.
The one that contacted me about that. You said it was like David, one of David's favorite songs?
Well, he had actually, he'd posted it semi-recently in Like a Perversion. He posted a live version of it. But he loved the Magnetic Fields. He talked on quite a bit. I mean, and that's something else I'm glad that we kind of touched on, because he was so passionate about music. And the science fiction, I mean, oh, my God, it makes sense. But I love science fiction, but I had no idea how much this – it all makes sense now, you know. I was more connected to David, I think, on a musical level. We would talk about music all the time. And he had his muses. He had his favorite singers and bands, and I could – list a bunch of them off right now, but he's posted them all over the years and shared. Same thing with you guys. Like, hey, Jason, check this out. Have you heard this? Check out these guys. Listen to this song. Look at this video, you know? Just, I mean, I don't know where he got all of this from. Again, turn off the faucet, you know? So much stuff.
You know, he was a sponge. I have to say this, Jason, and I think you should be on with us. I was speaking to Jennifer Dubois, and
sure.
Jennifer probably will not call in. She's still pretty broken up, but she is one
sure.
of the head admins at Like a Perversion and Like a Version. And I suggested to her that we do a special show of his favorite songs, like an hour or 90 minutes of it. So I'll be in contact
that would
with
be
both
great.
Of you.
That's a great idea. Yeah, that'd be
and
great.
And what
That's
we're
fantastic.
Do is We'll keep what we'll do is we'll post that up at Like a Perversion and keep that for David's memory and his legacy.
That's great.
You know, that's the one
I'd
thing
love to
I want
that playlist.
Oh,
I'd love to steal
you
that
should
playlist
be on with
and just
it,
play
Jennifer.
It on the radio.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'll be in touch with that. But one of the things I want to say, want to really, like, make a point of why we're doing this tonight is that each of us, no matter how small or how big it is, we all leave a legacy, and we all touch people. And the one thing that I can tell you about David is that, you know, we talked about him being unassuming and just like very, very much open to ideas and things like that. But all of us, just remember this. Even if you pass somebody in the street and just smile, that can have a profound impact. And I think one of the things that really we haven't touched about or haven't really like focused on is the kindness. Because for me, dealing with David,
yeah.
he was one of the most kind people I've ever met.
I think Kimberly said that, too. That was one of the very profoundly kind. Profoundly.
You know, and all of us here and all of us listening and all of us that are part of ISF and all of his other groups, we've all been touched by that kindness. So it's our job to keep that alive. And not only his legacy, but his kindness, and to be kind to the people around us and hopefully change things. You know, I forget who said it today,
about Facebook. But when I wrote my remembrance of David, which I posted on his page, the first thing I basically said was, you know, Facebook, you know, there's a lot of bad things, but, you know, there are a lot, you know, I have to thank Facebook for getting me in touch with David. And
yeah.
just remember that all these things are our tools, and it's the people behind that, you know, that really can change your life. And certainly I will say to everyone here that David definitely changed many, many lives. He certainly changed mine. There's no doubt about it. And we all miss him. Go ahead. Go ahead.
David was not a wealthy man. David was very moderate income, and sadly he was disabled for the last 20 years. I mean, he walked with a limp because of an accident. He had 2005 or 6. And anyway, he was not well-to-do, and he gave, like you say, he gave of himself. He gave me rides sometimes when I need to go, you know, when I had my car was in the shop or whatever, you know. And he was just extremely giving, you know. And as far as I know, he didn't make a dime off of having a 500,000 followers on Facebook. You know,
right.
I'm sure somebody would have tried to figure out how to do that, but he didn't, you know. And so he was always giving to other people, and I actually tried to get him to think of himself more, you know, and that was an amazing thing.
Rick, I can't tell you how many discussions, let's use that word, he and I would have, because I says, we're up to 100,000 people now. We should monetize this. Nah, I don't want the trouble. You know, no. And that sort of thing. I mean, seriously. So, okay, David, fine. We won't monetize it. Okay, fine.
You know, and another thing is that I think, well, David, we used to make fun of David because we were, like I said, we were watching 2 or 3, sometimes 4 or 5 movies, and David was famous for falling asleep. You know, mm-hmm. in the middle of it, and we would just ignore it. But anyway, you know, I still have a couple of friends that come over, and I fall asleep now, but so I'm the one. You know, I think really one thing that's amazing. You know, David started coming over less, and I think one reason is because his world was changed by YouTube. Okay, and just think about that. That's where he got all his
yeah.
music. And that's where he got all these movies, you know, and it was not 15, it was about 15 years ago that really became accessible on YouTube. And like I say, that was when he had his accident. And I think that's really when he got into this big, big time. And he just, like you say, he was just had the faucet turned on of all this music and all these movies coming to him. And he
all
just
the time.
Ate it all up, and just somehow I don't know how he did it. You know, he digested it all, and things like you and I and most people could never imagine all these things. So he just did an incredible job of harnessing it and putting it on Facebook, and you and I probably had no clue how to do that either. And it's just amazing what he accomplished, you know, just in this last 7 years with all this, his incredibly diverse interests and you know, taste and all this.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, one of the words that keeps coming up, you know, of course, is the name Incredibly Strange Films, but incredible. And I think if we look at David, that's one of the words, you know, just because of the vast outpouring of things that he did and how he was able to share. To this day, David and I never really realized why this group grew so much, but it did. And it was, you know, because he had this passion. And the other thing I wanted to mention is he did have this accident. I've heard about it, basically, that a tree fell on him and that. But out of adversity, comes something special. And I think that's mm-hmm. something that we all have to realize. Now, us male persons have been talking way too much, so please, let's get some female perspective and let's hear from his sisters and from Jasmine.
Yeah. Is Cindy still there?
Yeah.
Cindy? Okay, I didn't know if you were still there.
Okay.
Well, I
think
everyone's
go ahead.
Guys, I can. I might just pop off.
I was just
going to
say that with David, after the tragic accident that he had, that yes, he had a very creative mind, very just a true genius. But he almost looked upon this as a job, that he did this so many hours a day that, you know, it was just so fun because I'd come home from work and he'd just, oh, guess how many followers, how many people are in the group now? And like, okay, and like a couple hundred or something. And then it was just, I kind of lost track after so many thousand. But, you know, he just like, he was just so excited because this was like all his buddies, you know. And he did have a music group, but I can't remember what he called that.
And he had two,
like
he
a version.
Like three music
like maybe
version,
so.
Like
he didn't tell me too much about that, but just about all the strange films. And like Ricky said, he would fall asleep, and I'd be ended up watching it, and said, "David, wake up, wake up." Like, if I got to watch this, you got to watch it, too.
Yeah.
It was a lot of good movies that, you know, I have to admit that I weren't too sure about at first. But
he dragged you through.
Yeah, he did. He dragged me through.
A lot of times I would
That's what big brothers
go,
okay. do.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I would call sometimes and ask how a movie was because – if David said, you know, like he was a good critic, even at a young age, he was a really good critic of movies. And I'm seeing that quite a bit in my grandson, in Enzo, Jasmine's son.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at an early age, I can kind of trust Enzo to tell me if a movie is good. And I'm like, gosh, he's so much like David with that.
Hereditary.
Yeah.
But I could count on if David said, you know, if it wasn't, if he didn't give it a very good rating, then most of the time I didn't bother. Or sometimes I'd go ahead and watch it anyway and be like, yep, David was right.
He was right.
Right again. And Cindy mentioned something about him being creative, and I still have this little, sometimes he would just doodle, you know. He didn't set out to create art that I recall. But I saved this one. I was like, David, can I have this one? He had drawn something, and I called, what did I call it? I decided it was like an out of space peacock or something because it's very colorful. It kind of looks like a bird. I'm like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, I'll just call it I forget. I had a name for it, but basically like an out-of-space peacock.
That works.
I'm thinking, I've thought for years, I need to have that framed. It's just from notebook paper, but it just
was Do you still
really
have
cool.
it?
I do still have it, yeah. So I'll have to get
that.
It out of the file where I keep it and figure out how to share it with everybody.
And yeah, just take a picture and post it. On his page.
We named it I named it the Peacock from Mars, and David may have signed it with the title.
We're going to have to convince Nancy and Cindy to get a Facebook account because you all, Carl convinced me. Well, Rick Coleman, you convinced me. And then, you know, I got to talk to Carl on the phone. I was like, all right, I'm in just to be part of this group because it really is worth it. But, I, you know, none of us had Facebook a month ago.
Yeah, I've resisted Facebook this entire time, and I guess it might be time to go ahead and
find out. You can just be part of it, yeah.
Well,
David loved to dance around the house a lot when we were kids, and he'd just, like, go into, like, these, we would just call them, I don't know, he was, like, just dancing wildly, you know, and he was our entertainer, wasn't he, Cindy? I mean, I felt like David was just our main entertainer in life, and we had a very fun mom. You know, we had a dad who worked a lot. He was also fun and would take us fishing, but our mom would take us to the beach almost every day in the summer, and David loved to swim, and you know, he just was always entertaining us. Many, many nights, our parents would come into our room saying, you've got to be quiet now. And we'd be, like, giggling. David would have us giggling, like, so much that we couldn't stop laughing. And he was quite entertaining on top of being kind and intelligent, mm-hmm. and all these other wonderful traits. He entertained us.
I miss his laugh. His laugh was unique and infectious.
Mm-hmm.
And the smirk that he always kept.
I have to say something very quickly. When David and I were working very hard on ISF, I am a punster, and I do a lot of wordplay.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be talking, and suddenly a pun would come up, and I'd just throw it in there. And it would, like, be a second of silence, and then he'd start laughing that laugh. And you're right about that laugh.
Yeah. I want to share something that's it's just childish and ridiculous, but it just cracks me up because Cindy and David just came out here. Was that in September, I think, to visit us. Yeah. So, and we were fortunate enough to go see Squeeze play at a great theater here in Reno. And it was just a really nice visit. And anyway, my son, who is a stereotypical 15-year-old boy right now, was asking David, because David had just had his birthday the month before, and he said, oh, well, David, how old did you turn? And he said, 69. And my son just looked at him with this glimmer in his eyes, and he goes, that's a good number, to David. And David they both just started cracking up.
Like
both, like, little 15-year-old boys.
Boys with a dirty mind.
Beavis
and Butthead.
But it's like David wasn't above it. You know, he wasn't above the 15-year-old humor. He just started cracking up. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of fun.
Oh.
Yeah, we could laugh about just about anything. I don't know. We were saying things right when we were preparing the service that, I mean, the three, Cindy and Jasmine and I were just like, well, they kept making up different names for the...
the funeral director?
For the funeral directors. And I'm like, you guys, stop it. Like, they just kept changing his name to being other names. I'm like, you guys, stop it. And then I just sit there, I'm like, you know, David would be totally doing the same thing if he were here right now. Because he does love wordplay, and he likes to have fun, and, you know.
Yeah.
It was yeah. So.
He was hilarious. We had so many phone conversations that kind of made up for the fact that he wasn't coming over as much, and we were just, you know, just both cracking each other up, which is, just for an hour at a time, you know, it's just so much fun. And we relied on each other. Like I said, he gave me rides when I needed them. And, you know, he stayed at my house both after Katrina and Ida, which was our last hurricane this last August. when his lights were out. As a matter of fact, my lights were out, but he had trees on his roof in Katrina. Mm-hmm. And he stayed at my house for nearly a month. And so we had a few nights there. I mean, I split. I went elsewhere, but he had to stay here, and Cindy was helping him. But he and I had a few nights together. We just were living on candle power, but talking to each other, you know, in Katrina, just in the great heat. I mean, it was like, it seemed like 90 degrees at night. And we just had some very memorable wow. conversations during that time. And but there was so many great memories like that. And I'm so happy that this last time at Ida, you know, I actually got my lights before anybody else. I got it in 4 days, which was, like I said, Katrina was 30 days before we got lights.
Yeah.
And Ida, was that, I got mine in 4 days, which was long before anybody else. So both he and Cindy came and stayed with me, and just – that just meant a lot to me, especially in retrospect, because, I mean, that was the last time I got to spend with him, you know, and it just was mm-hmm. so good to have them and be able to give them, you know, a place before they went out and saw Nancy. So it's just so many great moments that we, you know, that David and I, it's you know, was a great friendship.
Yeah. Well, I just want to also say for Ricky that, you know, when you were still writing the book about Fats Domino, David was like, yeah, Ricky's writing a book. And I was like, Ricky's writing a book? And he was like, oh, yeah, he goes and spends time with Fats Domino all the time. And I was just like, wow, that's incredible. And I remember, I think he had you sign the book after, you know, he got it for me and sent it to me. And one of my memories of you know, being the younger sister, and your brother Johnny, Ricky's brother
oh, yeah.
Johnny was over at the house, and they were in David's room, and I was like, I'm gonna go hang out and, you know, be cool with those guys, and they were talking so above my head that I kept going, okay, maybe if I just listen to them, I'll learn something. They were talking about astronomy, and it was just, I sat there going, okay, maybe I can understand what they're talking about. And I asked a couple of questions, and then after about 20 minutes, I just said, okay, I got to get out of here because I don't understand one thing they're talking about. It was also scientific, and I was like, man, those guys are geniuses. I can't keep up with that.
Speaking of that,
and
I got
to so humble.
Yeah, well, David especially. I'm a little arrogant, I think, sometimes, and at least my friends know it. They compensate for it. But I got to put in a plug for some of my other friends that watched movies and hung out over here. I got my friend Jason Krupa, who was with us during the 80s and 90s before he moved to New Orleans. He has become a star photographer, and he just recently wrote a book on George Harrison and Eric Clapton, which got
wow.
very well received. Yeah, it's about the 50th anniversary of All Things Must Pass and Derek and the Dominoes. So that's
wow.
great, and he's already got a contract for his next book. I'm working on my own next book on New Orleans music. And then I also have a friend named Jerry Brock, who is the co-founder of one of the New Orleans' most famous radio stations, WWOZ, which is the station that plays New Orleans music and roots music all over the world, and it's heard all over the world online. And that's a great accomplishment than I'll ever accomplish, really, because that's spreading the word every day online all over the world about New Orleans music.
That's amazing.
And roots music. Yeah. And so I'm very proud of my friends. I had other friends, another friend who died in October, who was also well accomplished. But so I got proud of our little circle. And it's rural Louisiana. You know, we're outside of New Orleans, 50 miles. But we've had a lot of great things come out of here, and I'm really proud of David because I mean, you know, you can argue that he has reached more people than any of us. You know.
Well, Rick, I do want to interrupt here for a moment and just say, you know, if you ever want to do a podcast on New Orleans music, by all means, get in contact with me. We'll do a podcast. I love New Orleans music. That's Domino.
I'd love to.
Okay, well, we'll keep in touch, definitely.
Yes, indeed.
So as we start to wind up here, I just want to give a chance to everyone to say at least one more thing about David. So why don't we start with you, Jasmine, and then you can pass it around.
All right. Thank you, Carl. I just want to say I am so grateful right now. It's too bad somebody has to be gone to feel more connected to them than you ever have. But I'm so grateful that, gosh, this is my family, and for all of you, I just hope that we all stay in touch. Like, Rick and I exchanged numbers, and I'm so glad that he's here tonight with us. And David was, like my mom said, a great leader and a connector of people, and I strive to be like him. And Amelia does too, my dog, apparently.
And I just wanted to say that I'm so glad that David was such a good uncle to Jasmine, and that they could talk about music, and she got him, you know, she understood him. I'm just going to miss him so much, because I just figured David was always there, and sometimes, you know, I thought about him way more than I talked to him, you know, like I talked to him pretty frequently, but I just always had like, okay, in my mind, okay, next time I talk to David, I'm going to ask him about this TV show or this movie,
right,
or, you know, there was always another question in my mind next time I talk to David. And, you know, fortunately I did talk to him pretty frequently, but once somebody's gone, you realize it's kind of never enough, because you just assume they're going to be there forever. And I just loved him dearly.
That was kind of my sentiment. Sorry, that was kind of my sentiment too, is that I just wasn't done talking to him. Our conversation wasn't over. There were so many more things I wanted to ask him about or talk about,
mm-hmm,
or just, and not to sound selfish or anything, but I mean, like, I wasn't done talking to you, David, you know?
Right. No, I get that. I felt the same way. Like, anyway, Cindy, do you want to?
Yeah.
But what I don't think anybody's realizing is that David's physical body is not here. He'll still give you answers. You think about it. He'll give you an answer. Just like,
mm-hmm,
you know, when I was in the hospital when he passed, I mean, I told him, you'll all after us. You'll always be there for me, for us. And it's the same way with all his friends, all the people in the group, everywhere. All you have to do is just really think, and he will give you an answer.
That is true.
From him, but you know the answer.
Yeah.
And I just,
you know, I go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's just so many times over the past month that, you know, I know it sounds crazy, but I really truly have felt him be with me. And
there's no question,
yes, I can't come
home
and complain about my job, and he'd tell, okay, so what happened today? Tell me, you know, and joke me out of it. But I know he's here.
You know, he'll always be here.
And that's a sentiment that I absolutely want to make sure that everyone understands. You know, I, as I said briefly, I'm a church organist. I have a master's in church music and so on and so forth. I've been dealing a lot in terms of spirituality. And my mother passed away numerous years ago, and she's still here with me. My father, David, anyone who passes always lives on in the people that loved him or her. Okay? David is in our hearts. And I can tell you this, for me, what that means is that we keep David's legacy going on. We do things for David and for his groups. We pass along his love of music, his love of film, his love of life, because he loved life. I can guarantee you that. And that's what I truly believe, that he's with us all right now. And if you're open enough, you can feel it. And all you have to do is remember him and pass along what you loved about him, and he'll live for eternity. And I truly believe it.
Amen.
I told my sister and Jasmine this before, that years ago when our mother passed away, when we were little, she would come lay by us and rub our backs when we were feeling bad. And like I said, people may think I'm just way out there, but I have felt her like rubbing my back when I've been upset. Past few weeks, I was having a really, really hard time dealing with it. And all of a sudden, I woke up out of a deep sleep, and I felt something pressing up against my back, and I said, I'm okay. It's okay now. And then I felt so much better, because I knew that was him telling me things will be okay.
Yeah. Oh, I believe that. I believe that 100%. You know, with me and my family, the people that I love, my father, my mother, my sister passed away. I knew when they passed away. I knew to the minute.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, I know they're around me. I know my mother's upstairs with God, you know, kicking his butt, like, look after my son. And this is what happens, because love is eternal, and it doesn't stop, even when we die. And David's love for all of us and for movies and for that will live on. And for us that are living now, It's all it is our job to keep that alive for other people, so it's passed on from generation to generation. And that's the beauty of Incredibly Strange Films. That's the beauty of film and stuff. And for me, you know, it's important that, you know, we do it in his memory. And I certainly will do that as long as I can. And I can guarantee you, everyone here and everyone listening, that is going to happen. So,
well, that's beautiful. I think that y'all have said it far better than I could ever say it, but I'm so happy David has picked you moderators and administrators, which you call mods and admins. It sounds like mods and rockers, but anyway. But it sounds like he's picked a great bunch. You know, I really am proud of you guys, and I know you're going to carry on in his tradition. And I, like you say, I hope that every once in a while y'all will mention David. And even if y'all don't, I mean, I'm sure you will. But If you really want to, you can go backwards on all these Facebook sites and just go back and see Dave's posts for the last 7 or 10 years, whatever it is. You can go back.
There's some great ones. There's some great stuff.
You know, I'll be talking to Jason and a couple of people. As I said, we're gonna work up a show of his music and that sort of thing. But yeah, we're not going to forget David. I can guarantee you that. At least I'm not.
Yeah, and maybe repost some
Jason's
of his old
not.
Posts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Repost. Yeah.
Rick, I want to thank you too, and the ladies in the house. Seriously, some of the stories you guys told, it shed so much light on so many things. It just, I don't know. That really meant a lot to me. I really, really, really loved that. And I feel for you guys. I understand. Like I said, you know, I've only known David for a few years, but holy cow. I mean, I appreciate you guys' stories. Carl, thank you for putting this together too and having me on here. Appreciate
that.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And let's
before
all
we go. Oh, absolutely. There's no question of that. Jasmine, I would like everybody's phone number. Message that to me. Make sure you get all that together for me and just message me, and we will keep in touch. And I would also say that if you're not on Facebook, get on Facebook, because I've even said to Jasmine that, maybe we'll have her in. She's certainly a member of Film and Stuff and ISF now. But even like be an admin or something like that, or work up some a page just especially for David, remembrances of David, but whatever.
We'll figure that out.
But we definitely need to keep in touch. Now, before we go, as I said, I did a remembrance on his page, which you can go to and read. But I also posted this particular song that I'm going to play as sort of our ending song. Keep around, and then just we'll say one more thing about David after this. But this is a song I play for anyone who a friend of mine who's passed away. I had a friend, actually, I was talking to Jasmine about this. I have a very close friend of mine who passed away who was also from Reno. Her name was Antonia Onifro, and she was an old punk goddess back in the day, and she and I became friends, and she passed away from liver cancer, and she was in hospice, and when I did a memorial for her, I also played this song. But this is a song called Out of This World by Loudon Wainwright III, and please stick around, and we'll say one last thing about David after this song.
It's almost time now, it's almost over. Sooner than later, I'll be dead and gone. Out of this world. Out of this world. And I guess that I'll miss some of the good times, but it'll be fine for me to be moving on out of this world, out of this world, out of this world. Nothing will hurt me. I'll be so. you'll miss me, then you'll forget me, but that won't upset me, 'cause nothing will get to me in this world. Out of this world. Out of this world and into another, a kinder world. Out of this world. It's almost time now. It's almost over. Sooner than later, I'll be dead and gone. Out of this world.
That's a tough one, but I think it's appropriate for David.
Sad.
You guys okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I listened to it earlier too, and felt the sadness of it earlier. It's a good song for, you know, it's a good song.
Thanks, Carl, for picking that.
That was beautiful.
Well, yeah, it's a special song for me, and it's a way for me to connect to someone who's passed. You know, and to make that connection and to still know that they're here. And the other thing is that David is in a better place. He has to be. No doubt about it. And we have to remember that too. But he's, as we said, he's here with us.
Yes.
He really is.
Right. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I just want to just say thank you for doing this. And it's very heartwarming to know that so many other people also appreciate it, my brother.
Yeah.
Something that Cindy and my mom, Nancy, were talking about the week when David passed. My mom and I flew there, and I sort of remember them saying, even when I was a kid, you know, David always had 9 lives.
Mm-hmm. It was like he did.
He was always, something was always happening. And I think this was just it. Like, I think it's so hard for all of us surviving, but I think it was, you know, it is all divine, and He is still here in spirit.
And I was,
he was
really
definitely divine.
He had his accident. He was so active before his accident, physically active. And I was just really worried about how's he going to be able to deal with this, because he just can't move around like he used to. And
right.
I mean, it's so wonderful that he did get involved in doing this.
Oh, he kept moving.
He was resilient and didn't complain, and just, evolved into something else that wasn't as much in his physical body, but his brain never stopped.
Never.
Ever.
It's amazing how things, you know, that are tragedies or accidents like that, or injuries, just straight up injuries, they do something. I don't know, but I've known people that have been in horrific car accidents, and they come back and they're just they're just full of life, like more than anybody else I know. Like, you know, it's, and I'm not attributing anything to that. David was a genius before, during, after, still, you know, but it is interesting to me. I didn't know about David's accident, but that's neither here nor there. He was just, the David I knew was a brilliant, brilliant man and had a gigantic heart.
He didn't let that accident define him. He didn't let it define him, and I think that is what is so great. Like, you wouldn't know about it because it wasn't. It didn't make him or break him. It just was something that happened.
He just, yep.
Yeah, because when the doctors told him after his accident that he'd never be able to walk, he'd never be able to use his arm, and he says, "I'm going to prove them all wrong." And he worked and he worked and he worked. I came home from working with physical therapists and told him this is what they suggested you do. He was up doing things before he even had a chance to tell him he should be doing this or not doing this. David was not going to let anything or anybody get him down.
Right.
I mean, wow. He's kept one.
Especially doctors. Right. Come on.
No.
But I have to share something here too, because you don't know, David and I connected on that end too, because I was born with cerebral palsy, and the doctor said I wouldn't walk either. They said I'd be in a wheelchair. And nowadays, you can't, unless you really look, you can't even tell that I had problems. I had braces on until I was 8. And David never really told me what happened. He never went into specifics. I didn't know about the tree until afterwards, until much later. I knew he had physical problems, and he and I talked about that. And it was like you know, my mother was the one that fought for me, and my father did help me out with a lot of physical therapy when I was young. But, you know, you get to a point where, you know, it's like you're going to show everyone you can do it. And anyone that has a physical disability, and this is specifically for physical disability, someone who has an accident or that, it's a sense of will. And David had that will, not only in overcoming his accident, but also had the will to really share what he loved with people around him. And the kindness, all of that comes from adversity. And it's how you deal with adversity. And if you take a look at David at all, and you see how kind he was and how he supported so many people. An accident like that has, you could either feel sorry for yourself or you can fight and do more. And that's exactly what David did. And for that, that's another thing that we have to understand and do in our own lives too. You know, and that's a big thing for all of us, and David was very, very much an emissary of that. So I just needed to share that too. Sorry, guys. I made everyone quiet.
It takes Nancy, his sister, a few seconds to figure out how to unmute something.
Well, you
Thank
know,
you so
I want
much
to say this one thing. I just wanted to say one more thing. You were talking about David doodling and stuff like that. David would write story on top of story all the time. I mean, just come up with these unimaginable stories. And I think we've still got notebooks on top of notebooks of what he's written. So he had a lot. He had a lot in his lifetime, his very short lifetime.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I want to thank everybody for coming on. I know that this has been a bit of a cathartic, I guess is the word, you know, and talking about David and that. But in sharing this, you know, we are able to get past our grief. And the thing is, let's consider this a celebration. Celebration of David's life, of what he did, and you know, the love that he shared with everyone. And that's what this should be. It should be a celebration.
It is. David's having the time of his life, and all the people that he knows up there, relatives, all the people he's always admired that have gone on before. And so now he's one of the angels that's looking down on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it is a celebration. We just got to get through this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I want to thank everybody for being on and sharing about David. And I can tell you this, there are many others that are listening and many others that will listen as we post this on all his pages and just, you know, tell people to please listen and know who started this group, because he was very, very special. And again, I want to thank everybody here, and please, let's go around the circle one more time and just say who we are and our relationship with David.
Jasmine, you want to start?
This is Jasmine. I'm in Reno, Nevada. David's niece.
This is Nancy, David's youngest sister. I'm also sitting here in Reno, Nevada. And next.
I'm Cindy, his middle sister, and I'm here in Covington, Louisiana, 50 miles north on the north shore of New Orleans. Here in the cold.
Yes, this is Rick Coleman. I'm right next to Cindy, just a few miles away, and Cindy was closer to David than anybody. She was together with him for over 60 years, and I just admire her so much, and I just hope that she can live, I hope, with renewed vigor with hearing all these wonderful things about David, and she can always lean on me. So we thank you mods and admins for helping keeping David's legacy alive. And just one last plug for David. He wants you to watch weird Andy Milligan films. So, the Guru, the Mad Monk.
That sounds about right.
Jason, tell us where you're from.
No, this is Jason. I'm David's internet friend. I've loved him for 3.5-4 years, and I live in the middle of the Arctic tundra, which is otherwise known as Central Iowa. It's really cold. It's really cold here right now.
Much love. I've known David now for nearly 7 years. I'm here in Metro New York City, and again, I want to thank everyone for being on this podcast, and for everyone here, just so you know, David wants us to love each other and care about each other, so everyone here, my love, my true condolences on our loss, and it's not much of a loss because he's still with us. And just remember that.
Right.
Again, I want to thank everybody here, seriously, because I know this cannot be the easiest thing to do. And that's all I can say.
So right now, what we're going to do is we're going to do a quick what we call housekeeping. So tomorrow on Deviant Legion, we're going to have a commentary watch of one of Rachel's favorite films, and that's Stranger Than Fiction. And then on Wednesday, we have a new show premiering with Vicki Love called Intent, and we're going to be looking at specific artists. This Wednesday, we're going to start with Robert Crumb, the underground comics person. There was an article that came up that both Vicki and I were talking about, and we're going to be doing a show on what was the intent of the artist when he wrote these things, and we'll take a look at context. We'll take a look at cancel culture in terms of everything. So that's going to be a biweekly show every 2 weeks on the network. We have lots of things planned to come up for February. We're going to be doing a bunch of shows and commentary watches for Black History Month. John Killian from XV Planets will be joining us on the 1st of February, which is this coming Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, actually. And we'll be starting our commentary watches with Black Dynamite, which is a fun little film, sort of a spoof of
Blaxploitation.
We'll be doing much more of that during the month. Again, I want to thank everybody who was here, and let's have a toast to David. I don't have anything in my hand, but just consider an imaginary glass.
Prost.
Cheers.
Thank you so much.
This
Break
was amazing, Carl. Thanks for putting this together.
Oh, my. There was no way I was not going to do this. There was no way that you couldn't stop. Wasn't going to happen. Because I got to do it for David.
Somebody tried.
All right.
Thanks for inviting us on and including us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And everybody, again, my thanks for coming on. And let's all say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Repost David's
All right.
Post.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll be sharing this particular podcast all over the place. So good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.